All right, I call this meeting of the Committee on Budget and Finance to order on Monday, March 27th, 2017, at 6:01 p.m. President's Conference Room on 3rd floor of the Joe Crowley Student Union. Moving to agenda item 2, roll call.
Senator Berrigan?
Absence excused.
Senator Bond?
Present.
Senator Bradley?
Absence excused.
Senator Chu?
Tardy excused.
Senator Duvall?
Present.
Senator Fang?
Present.
Senator Smith?
Absence excused.
Senator Taylor?
Present.
Half and half is quorum met for that? I know it has to be more than half.
But it has to be simple majority.
So, quorum's not met yet.
How many do we have?
We have four out of eight.
Yeah, Jay's coming in about like 2 minutes.
Does that include you?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh. I'm sure you missed
Yeah, I'm seeking a motion for a
three-minute
recess. Same bond.
I move to recess for 3 minutes and return at 6:05 p.m.
Is there a second? Senator Taylor.
Second.
All right, so we'll recess until Senator Chu gets here. Oh. All right, so Courtney, can you take attendance again just to make sure everyone's here?
Yeah.
And now we have quorum.
Senator Bear again? Senator Bond?
Present.
Senator Chu?
Present.
Senator Duvall?
Present.
Senator Fang?
Present.
Senator Smith?
Absent.
Senator Taylor?
Present.
Quorum is now met.
Perfect. Moving into agenda item 3, public comment. Is there any public comment at this time? Seeing none, we'll move into agenda item 4, minutes. I'm seeking a motion. Senator Bond.
I move to approve the minutes for March 6, 2017 by unanimous consent.
Is there a dissent? Motion carries. Moving to agenda item 6, financial reviews. The committee will conduct its first financial review on clubs and organizations. Dr. Wong, table's yours.
Hey everyone. So funding manager Desimero could not make it to last week's meeting, or I guess before the break, and I couldn't either. He also could not make it to this meeting, so that's why I am here. He did, however, prep a memo for you all, and I hope that you've all got it. There's a bunch of awesome information in here with regards to our analysis of spending thus far. So I guess I'm here to answer any questions that you all have about the memo.
Senator Bond.
So that's kind of an interesting question because of the fact that we're looking at changing the policy manual still, which is in process. The $190,000 that we had this year is the same as we had last year. And I actually expected that we would spend more than we had in the last year. If you actually look at the last page, or the page before the last page on the memo, there's analysis on how much of the budget that we've spent this year in comparison. It's not on here actually, he removed it. I've got numbers comparing last year to this year, and we're down on spending of what we were last year, which is interesting, especially since we allocated a lot more money during the summer period, and we're right on track with how much we allocated last year to this year in the other periods as well. So $190,000 seems about right, but depending on the new policy manual and how much clubs and organizations buy into the new funding processes, we could see big changes, and that's kind of, as much as I hate to say it, it's almost a gamble of where the budget should be. So,
Did you see less funding requests this year than last year?
In sheer numbers or in amount requested? So I think we saw, the numbers are in the memo here. There's a percent change column on this chart from last year. So we saw, more allocated in the summer and less allocated in fall 1, fall 2, and spring 1. And the trends remain the same with how much was requested. We hardly said no to very many organizations throughout the course of this year. Even in the spring one funding period where we allocated almost $70,000 to organizations. The amount of apps was higher though in spring one for sure, and they were a little bit higher in the others, and definitely summer. Summer we saw a lot more apps than we had in the past.
Since you got more applications but had the same amount budgeted, did you think that clubs are being more thrifty with their spending, or if they're using their own fundraising, or why do you think that is?
I don't know. It's interesting. We're seeing more apps, and I think it's because we've got more new clubs than we've had in the past, so they're interested in, you know, using that money and the funding that's out there for them. Though it's, I don't think they're requesting very much money, because oftentimes, tiers 1, 2, and 3, you have to spend, or they have to fundraise that 40% amount into their accounts. And so when you're a new club, you oftentimes don't have very much, you know, basis to stand on yet. And so they're, you know, looking into fundraising options and things like that, like you had mentioned. So I think it's because of the influx of new clubs that we're seeing that.
Any further questions? Sorry, sure.
Is the new tier system going to drastically affect the way that the money is distributed, do you think?
I guess yes. So the way that we have it right now is tier 4 is 100% funded, right? And that's like for infrastructure and things like that. So we're kind of removing tier 4 and we're doing a base tier, which is basically along the same lines. It's free money funded at 100% for those organizations to spend on whatever they want. Then we've got an on-campus, off-campus, and travel tier as well. And those are funded similarly to the way that we have it now. It just kind of aligns it more to the type of spending that we're seeing and makes it a little bit easier. The policy manual has kind of been misconstrued, and a lot of people read it differently than we do, and so it's caused a lot of issues with, like, oh, well, I thought it meant this, but the commission thought it meant something else, so that's why we're changing it. I don't know. Hopefully, did that kind of answer your question? Okay.
How are you letting the clubs know that the tier system may change?
So we've sent out numerous emails both to the Senate listserv and all of the clubs listserv. So they've gotten tons of emails. And we've been very clear that we're open for office hours. Anyone wants to come in to discuss the policy manual, then they should feel welcome to do so. And Commissioner Tarr has also held a town hall. Meeting and has met with several other organizations to discuss, you know, thoughts and issues and things with the new manual. So they all hopefully should be aware of it by now.
So what exactly does a graduate assistant do for like, because I know, I think in the last year we've cut down to one, but I'm still not quite sure.
So is that line still going to Brian?
Yes.
Okay.
It's the only person that's going to.
Okay, good. Yeah, so Brian, in last year, he was super helpful for Rocio. And what he did was everything club renewal on the back end. He managed our box storage, which is all of the documents and everything for club renewal and all the steps in the process. It's a ton of work. And he was getting pretty tired when I talked to him of just staring at the same spreadsheet for hours on end. But it's definitely a job that would take up a ton of the commissioner's time and wouldn't allow us to focus on, you know, the projects at hand, things like that. So that's where he was extremely useful in the past year. Yeah, Sandy.
And we had another issue. In order to verify those NCID numbers, these guys can't access personal student information. The lowest that the associate vice president of enrollment will go in terms of employment status is a graduate assistant. So that's been problematic. Now that being said, remember, he's being split between two jobs, so he doesn't work on clubs and orgs every day. The intense part for them comes like March through May, and then the intense part for campus escort happens August through So it's kind of split in that way. Now he's going back to clubs and arms,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Because the club renewal process has started.
And thanks for touching on the NGIDs. I forgot to mention that.
Yeah. Any further questions? Perfect. Thanks for coming in.
Right on. Thank you.
Please let the record show the Senator and the Director of the U.S. 608. Moving to the financial review for a block promotions.
Hey, so hi guys. My name is Eileen. I'm the new director. I started about a week ago, maybe a little bit more. I'm just getting acquainted with the budget. So I've been talking to Blythe about it, and Blythe is here in case there's anything that you guys ask that I don't really know. So overall, you can see how our budget is broken down. We have 12 to 16 student employees most all the time, and as of March 20th, we spent $44,696.53 on that. Based on the amount of employees we've had, we spent $716.08 on fringe. So yeah, you guys can see where we are on that. Some of the big things we've spent money on, the ASUN tech service renewal, the TV monitors for ads, new toners and ink cartridges because we have the nice color printer in there. Nevada Ink, we spent about $6,000, and that's all printed material. MailChimp, which is our online newsletter system, business cards for everyone in ASUN. Basecamp is about $500 a year, and that's our project management system. For revenue, we've brought in, most of that was from a Title IX video that we were reimbursed for. The other two items on there were just because we got money back from the AT1 because they overcharged and Amazon. So for the rest of the year, we're planning on spending a good amount of money on Nevada Ink like we always do for our printing promotions. One of the biggest items in there is the mobile app payment. That's $4,000 to $6,000. We spend $149.90 on Adobe software for each of our computers. So those are some of the bigger expenses. And then we have some charts for our data that you guys can see. Do you guys have any questions so far? Yes.
So between 12 to 16 student employees, mm-hmm. like four positions can like add up pretty quick. So like, mm-hmm. where do you think is like the best place for it to be? Like, is 12 like too sparse and is 16 too many? Like,
well, right now we're in a place where we've had a couple people that aren't working with us anymore. So right now we have around 12, and we've hired a couple people that are for next semester and for starting summer because a lot of people are graduating. Mm-hmm. So while I think it's hard to do everything we do with 12 people, right now we're doing that, but we're moving a lot of positions kind of around, and a lot of people are doing what the other positions would have been doing. So I definitely think 12 is like the bare minimum that we should be at. So, I mean, I think at 16 we would be doing a lot, and we'd be doing our jobs really well.
Are there still plans to produce like data that's on us video? Because I think Chief Staff Hawtins had mentioned that a while ago, and he hasn't updated enough people.
I think Blythe should talk more about that.
yes, there are currently plans to do an It's On Us video. The video team is working with the rest of the media team and myself. We've been storyboarding a couple of different ideas about what we plan to do. Right now it's looking like a 30 to 45 second PSA. Very artsy, very creative, kind of telling a story without much talking and actual, you know, audio happening in it. I think right now they've got a pretty cool idea about placing couches around campus and doing something really artsy and kind of creative with that. But we're hoping to do that kind of in coinciding with the PacFit Sexual Health It's On Us Day that's going to be happening in April. So we're we're trying to work on that right now and get that done by the end of April so we can kind of tie that all in together.
Cool. Any further questions? Senator Berrigan?
For the money stuff, but on Adobe software,
mm-hmm.
Since there, I'm assuming it's a subscription for all the suites individually for each computer, right? Because that's what would make sense, because it's $149 for each computer.
Mm-hmm.
Why haven't, so is the reasoning that you guys, don't you think it would be better in the long term to just purchase the software itself as a corporate license, or is it because it updates every year and
it
you have to...
And so that allows us to keep continually working with updated products. And so what happens in the future is if someone's working with a more up-to-date software and then they come in and start working on that same project on our Inkblot computers, they can't open it up older software.
Yeah, of course. Okay.
So.
That's what I was just double-checking.
And then I'll just say it's the university standard.
Yes.
Now.
Mm-hmm. So we do all of this through the university and IT as well.
Oh, really?
For clarification, so that means that I'm going to be paying $149 per each Mac up there, right?
They don't have Adobe.
They, okay, got it.
They don't. Okay. I'll double check that.
Okay.
That's my initial thought, but now I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they have the Adobe
switch, but my name is
confused. Yes.
Any further questions? Cool. Thanks for
coming
in
today. Thank you.
Moving to the financial review for ACM Sound Lights and
Music
School.
Hi guys, sorry I wasn't sitting at the table. If you don't know me, I'm Cynthia Havendingle. I'm the student director for Sound and Lights. You guys should all have the memo. If you guys don't know what we are a free service for on-campus events, and we provide things like stage, we provide lighting, speakers, most commonly speakers. We also have a few other things like water monsters and a grill for larger scale events. A breakdown of our major expenditures are wages and general operations. That general operations can get broken down for mostly repairs, getting new equipment, and also our regular fees, such as the alarm system we have in our closet and the DJ software we have, which is called Promo Only. If you guys need more details about that, you can read it in the memo, and it's also on the case sheet. As far as what we've spent so far, that's also on the case sheet. I was told that you guys have that, so.
Yeah.
Most of the things we spend money on are things like propane fuel and repairs, usually is what we have to spend money on. As far as what we plan to spend money on in the future, this semester, the spring semester, is our busy season, so we are looking to hire one or two more people, at least temporarily, just because we generally have a lot of events in the April. You can see that on the graphs. So we do have one or two more people coming on, and we do have a lot of events already lined up, and that doesn't include events that are inevitably going to come in the future. So we're definitely looking to hire a couple more people. We have a few pieces of equipment that need to be repaired. We're working on getting estimates for them right now. We did find a local shop that is willing to do it for pretty cheap. We are looking to buy head or lapel mics because they've been frequently requested by event coordinators. And then also just the usual things such as our yearly fee for the alarm and the monthly fee for our DJ subscription. So on the back page of the memo is two different graphs. It shows the number of events we serve. One of them is by month in the year and one of them is by the semester. So if you guys have any questions.
I remember at the beginning of the year when you first came in, I remember asking if there was ever going if you guys were ever going to fix the cotton candy machine. Did you guys ever end up doing that? Because I looked in the case sheets and I couldn't find anything.
So the cotton candy machine actually isn't under Sound and Lights.
That isn't?
That is a front desk, I believe.
Oh.
So Sound and Lights just has a stage, speakers, lighting, a large-scale grill, and two water monsters.
Okay. That makes sense. So much more sense.
This is more just for my curiosity. It looks like there's a general trend of like less events involving Sound and Lights.
So the main reasoning for that is we've been doing a lot better of allocating different events to different places so that we are having less of a burden and we don't have to schedule as many people, especially if there are multiple events on one day. So for instance, we are working with the Joe a lot. If there's events that the Joe can handle with their equipment, then we usually work something out with that. Or we also often refer people to the At One Media checkout for very, very small scale events. So that's the main reason why the numbers have been declining.
Cool. Any further questions? Thanks for coming today. All right, moving into the financial review for legal services.
Yes, sure. Heather is visiting graduate schools. So far legal services has helped 221 students this fiscal year. That is a lot. Okay, that really is a lot of students.
Even me.
Huh?
Even me.
Yeah. I think most impressive is the legal services data. If you look at the fiscal year 2016 through 17, it's a real clear indication of the increase. I don't know what else to say. Honestly, Heather's been doing an amazing job, and so has Cheyenne. And I have to tell you something. Dr. Derek Fukurama is now the concierge for the university. He has really helped the student advocacy component. He's created a website that when students have an issue with the university, they go and they fill out a form. I am not lying to you. He responds within 24 hours. And so what happens is that when students come in to see Cheyenne or Heather, what we've done is we go immediately online and have them fill out the form with the student. Derek responds within 24 hours. If there's additional assistance needed by the advocate, or if the student just wants the advocate, they're with them anyway, the advocate will assist. But I have to tell you, I'm very impressed with Derek Fukurama. He really has done a great job. The other thing is, not going to lie to you, we opened up the assistant director position twice and we closed it twice, and the applicants were not viable applicants. So we just closed it up again and did some interviewing over spring break. Yes, believe it or not, students don't go off on spring break, and found two really amazing students. One of them is junior status. Her name is Diane Vaquera. She's already on payroll. She'll be starting, she started today, I believe, maybe tomorrow. She's getting a degree in psychology with a minor in substance abuse. Really amazing understanding of human behavior. That being said, Heather is actually graduating in May. So the second student we interviewed, to be honest with you, the only reason I didn't hire her as assistant director was that Diane was just a little bit more mature. This student is a first year student headed toward medical school. She's already been working at Renown, understands confidentiality, you know, whenever you're dealing with folks' medical records, et cetera. At this point, the plan is to have Diane work over the summer with Heather up until mid-June. More than likely, I'll just move her into the director's position and then call the second student back and ask if she'd like to start as assistant director. Cheyenne will remain constant as a student advocate. But that's what the plan is right now.
Any questions?
Has the drastic increase in clients, because like I'm looking at that last chart and mm-hmm. we've more than like doubled last year and we still have 3 months to go. Is that just because it's so effective or?
A couple of things. Landlord-tenant issues, you're getting a whole lot more apartment complexes, number one. Number two, MIPs and MICs. The good news is, I have to tell you about an exciting new program. Keep your fingers crossed that this is gonna work out. So you guys know Gift Balls, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I sent Amy off to meet with the four judges of Reno Municipal Court. Right now, when one of your peers is busted for MIP, MIC, DUI, smoking, marijuana, you know, mm-hmm. substance, controlled substance kind of a thing, they go through Reno Municipal Court. The court has an agreement with the university based on basics that they will not charge the student, but rather sends them back to the university. However, part of the punishment is that they have to do X amount of hours of service. So right now, what we're doing, I had Amy go visit with the four judges. The judges, when we explained what GivePulse was to them, actually have decided that if a student commits a nonviolent crime, like MIP, MIC, depending on the type of DUI, what was the other thing? Oh, let's say they got too many traffic tickets, didn't pay their traffic. Instead of funneling them through community service with the city and working with everybody else out there, right? They're actually gonna funnel them right back to my office through legal services, and then we're gonna get them to sign up on GivePulse. Go ahead.
I said, I just got a speeding ticket like 3 weeks ago, and I had to do community service to the city, and I felt like a convicted felon, because I was working with people that did DUIs and hit and runs.
Yeah, no,
I am 10 over.
And guys, I just want you to know, when Amy went to visit with the judges and I sent her off, I thought, oh my God, I'm sending her into the lion's den. It was just the opposite. These judges were like, you know what, these students really can have a bright future. They've made a mistake right now. We're not gonna just pretend that it didn't happen, but perhaps if we can connect them further to the university, they're more likely to do the community service in an environment, right, that is more conducive toward their growth, as opposed to being afraid to showing up to community service. Go ahead.
Sorry. When I was at the clerk's office speaking to them about the ticket, I was actually asking them if there was any programs with the university, and they said they were in the process of talking about it wasn't happening yet.
That's
so
what it is.
That's
see, the part that shocked me, and I had to call time out. They wanted Chris's time to all get taken up. This is a lot of students we're talking about. And I told Amy, we need to take a timeout on this. The only other organization that has students completely devoted to working with students related to private information is legal services. What they wanted to do was to fax records, right? Yeah, that's the part that I was like, I'm sorry, I can't have, you know, they actually wanted to email records, which is a violation of FERPA. We can fax records. I can put a private fax machine in legal services. There are only three people that have a key to that office. The same three people that have kept confidential over all these years, right? The issues related for students related to their legal issues to begin with, so.
So emailing violates FERPA?
If you're emailing personal information, yep. Absolutely. Grades. Conviction, well, it would involve student conduct type of things. So essentially what happens is that we get the student full circle, and I think that's important. So know that we're gonna add additional work to legal services beginning in the fall. So we're setting up the infrastructure right now. I'm sorry, I had to put a halt to it. Because the other pressure is, right, that you have to do 8 hours within a week, 16 for hours, 2 weeks, etc. We panicked because it was like, well, what happens if there's not enough stuff on GivePulse for them to sign up for? So come fall, GivePulse will be more set. We'll be more prepared to funnel students through there. No one will be any wiser why they're volunteering. And then my office will turn around and send the letter, right, to the courts of verifying that the student did their service. Okay, so honestly, nothing changes. It's the same stuff over and over again that comes out of that account. The update from spring is that the budget was reduced to $100,000. That was done because of the shortfall in revenue, and we had that discussion a couple of weeks ago. I completely cut the $20,000 that I was given to do civic learning and democratic engagement stuff. Why? GivePulse wasn't online on time. That's okay. We're scheduled for the fall semester. We're good with, really, it starts at orientation. Second, because we hadn't filled the two positions, I took the salary savings and the fringe, and then I had to cut a minimal amount of student wages, but not anything that's where we're gonna have to unemploy any student. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're gonna see the normal expenses, the Dish Network, the AT&T, the service plan for the iPads, we did have to spend an inordinate amount of money in advertising. We had to reopen both job positions. We just weren't getting qualified applicants to apply. That being said, I'll give you an update. We finally got to close the coordinator student outreach. We are bringing two applicants on campus next week. Monday is the first student or person, and Tuesday is the second. James's coordinator position just closed on Friday. So we're going to go back and re-sift through all those applications, see if we got any additional applications where the candidates are viable. By viable, I mean a college student development background. That's what's hard to fill. I've got lawyers applying for these jobs. Not going to happen. They just don't have the skill set. It's not because they're not educated. They don't have the basic skill set necessary to walk in to be a coordinator for student engagement. But yeah, that's about where we're at. I can't think of...
You've had lawyers apply?
All over campus. Just an inordinate amount of people with law degrees, JDs, applying for jobs. And that's typically an indicator of the economy. It happens, it ebbs and flows. Like every 4 to 5 years, we see that. It's actually a very interesting phenomenon. But that doesn't make you a good advisor, academic advisor, necessarily, right?
Any questions? Thank you, Sandy.
Sure.
All right, moving to agenda item 7, public comment. There's any public comment at this time. Seeing none, we'll move into agenda item 8. I hear this meeting at 6:35.
This is the second to last one?
Yeah.
I'm so sorry we had to put a halt to that.
I know it was the last meeting.
Thank you.